Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Robinhood, and they are giving you guys, our listeners, a free stock. Yes, stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint, or many others to help you build your portfolio. Sign up. Check it out. This is like free money, folks. I've signed up. I love it. I've been using it ever since I heard about them when they started supporting our show. RealGhost.Robinhood.com. RealGhost.Robinhood.com to get your free stock. No strings attached. RealGhost.Robinhood.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a young woman is told the tragic history of a deceased spirit without words while on a museum tour. Also, multiple accounts of a haunted town make it the perfect place for one ghost hunter. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost story with us, write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, this show is supported by you guys, so if you like it and you want the advanced episodes of the program weeks before they go public, those exclusive EPP bonus episodes, which you can get a preview of on Thursdays, but get the full episodes, you need to be an EPP. Go to ghostpodcast.com to get in on all of that. And check it out. $5 a month. Keep us on the air. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you this fine day?
Tony.
Carol.
I'm really good.
Should we just sing our interactions with each other?
Well, because normally you're the one who sings, and I don't.
We could do it. We just got to pick your favorite artist, and you got to kind of be like that for the rest of the show. So I'll be Michael McDonald. And You want to be Michael McDonald?
Whatever. That's fine.
You do kind of have the hair for Michael McDonald.
And the thing is, with my voice, that's about my register is Michael McDonald. I remember when I was in high school choir, I had to sing tenor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they didn't have any boys. And so I'm like, I can do it.
I thought you were going to say, like, you had to sing a Michael McDonald song in high school or something.
They're just tenor.
I had to do I Keep Forgetting. And it was, I keep forgetting.
Yeah. I'm not in love anymore.
I'm not even kidding. I was so disappointed the other day. The Silver Dollar City, the theme park, is pretty much across the street from where we live. And we're going to be going on a trip here this summer. And I'm looking at the dates of who's coming and what, and there really hasn't been much in terms of music that I really said I want to go see. There's been several country artists that were okay there, but and this is pretty much the equivalency to the country artists that they bring in, a little bit past their prime that they show up over there. But Christopher Cross is going to be over there, and I was like, damn it, I really wanted to hear Sailing. Yes. And when you get caught between the moon and New York City.
I thought you were going to say Michael McDonald, and that would really bum me out. Christopher Cross, I think I could be out of town for that and be okay with it. But I would pay money to see Michael McDonald.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've seen him. I saw him in Wichita once, and it was a good show. I would definitely
see him. I met him.
Really?
I did. One year I was in Nashville interviewing a bunch of artists, and the Doobie Brothers were there.
Really?
And the crazy thing is that when I was a kid, my dad drove a semi for the Doobie Brothers, and they all remembered my father.
There you go. That's
a little tidbit.
I didn't even know that. I did not know your dad drove a vehicle for the Doobie Brothers. Wow.
Doobie Brothers and David Bowie, and he drove Michael Jackson, Cyndi Lauper. The Jackson thing wasn't very – that was just a couple dates.
Yeah.
And Cyndi Lauper and Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And that was just like from New York to L.A. So, I can say he did.
I think the most we'll get to our ghost story here in a second. But the biggest, I don't get starstruck very much. But there's one experience you've shared with me over the years that really just made me go, "Damn, I wish I could have been there for that one." And that was when you got to go to Lionel Richie's house. And
that was Justin, our boss, got to go.
I thought you went there.
Yeah. And then there was a story. Then he told us another story about a a radio guy who took a prostitute. I don't know that that's true.
Wow. I thought that was you. I thought you went to that house.
No.
Oh. Oh, I don't know why I was thinking it was you. I could have sworn you told me the story, but maybe we were all in the same room and he shared that one. But no. So I'm not jealous
of that one.
I'm not jealous of you anymore. There we go.
Yeah, well, did I ever tell you?
Yeah, there you go.
Met Michael McDonald.
Well, yeah, there you go. Well, that one I am jealous of. But, okay. We're back on the same terms as before. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump to our first ghost story. It says, hey, guys, I'm listening to your ghost nurse episode, and someone mentioned the Castillo de San Marcos and their experience there. I'm sure I butchered that. I've gone there. I've gone to the fort there many a times. And while I only remember two of the experiences due to my age, anytime I've ever been near the fort, which is near the shore, it always seems dark, no matter how much sunshine is out. I also always feel like there's a presence there. Recently, we were across the street as a friend of my mother's needed help getting to a museum. I happened to know where it was, so we all met, took her and her grandson there. My mother and I waited outside and were talking, and she brought up an experience of mine as a toddler. Now, at this point, the only real word I would say often was no when I was at that age. Apart from that, I was very silent. But to this day, my grandmother, mother, and I were visiting the fort, and my grandmother paused with the stroller at her hand. I was securely inside of it. She was talking with my mother, and they began to notice I was babbling and facing a particular direction near the fort. I was doing it so much rapidly, then pausing and starting again, that it was obvious I was having a conversation with someone. My mother said to my grandmother, "Look, baby's talking, but to who? There's nobody there." My grandmother bent down. She said to me, "Sweetie, who are you talking to?" And I replied, "Man," which wasn't a word I had ever said before. She told me, "Tell the man goodbye," and I told him bye. We left. We went back to the fort when I was 7 on tour, and I specifically remember as we got to a particular room, I don't remember what the tour guide said it was, but I refused to go in or near it. My mother told me to go, and I told her no and began to argue with her that I felt uncomfortable and that we needed to leave. I felt like I couldn't breathe until we exited the fort and got back outside, not because of some oppression, but from the anxiety I felt. The last time we went was with my mother and stepfather. When we approached the same room, I saw a man there. I heard his story of what happened to him. I never spoke to him out loud, but I did acknowledge his presence and took the time to listen to him. After we left, I told my parents I never wanted to come back to the fort ever again, and I haven't. It's my story. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for giving us this space. I love the paranormal. I'm heavily involved in it, and I feel like it will always be in my life. So hearing other people's stories, the advice y'all give, and even new branches of the paranormal that I didn't know existed helps me. You guys are amazing. Love the relationship you all have with each other. Thank you so much again, Melissa. There you go. Visiting the Haunted Fort. Did we hear that one? I know I butchered the name of it, but did you figure out which one it was?
Not exactly.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But as I was listening to that, I'm like, creepy, but in a way, like after coming back from vacation, mm-hmm. and being like, I wish I knew what happened here, and then to know,
yeah,
like, but I also don't want to be freaked out and scared,
sure.
But I get it because I went to, like, we were talking about, I went to that one church, and all of a sudden, like, boom, there's something really dark here, mm-hmm. and I get that, like, I don't want to go back there.
Sometimes I wish I could get those feelings because I don't.
Hey, neither has my friend Lynn ever until we went to Rome.
Yeah.
So go to Rome.
And it's not so much that, like, I'm jealous and I want to be freaked out, but I almost wish I could have those, at least a little inclination that maybe this is a room I shouldn't be going into, so I don't blindly go into some place where I shouldn't be going and then get something attaching itself to me. I think having at least a little bit of a feeling of, maybe I'll skip this room out. Would be beneficial because I don't feel like I get any of it. Jen does. When we go to some place, there's plenty of tours we've gone on, not even necessarily ghost tours, but we know the place is supposedly haunted. There's been many a times where it's like, oh, and we'll go over here, and she'll be like, I'm just going to wait over here by the water fountain. I'm like, no, let's go look. No, I'll be over here. And adamantly will not go into certain areas. So, of course, I go, but I should probably follow her lead more.
No, but I get that feeling. Like, it's so negative.
Yeah.
For it to happen as a kid, little kid, you know?
Yeah.
Who are you talking to? Man. It's like, I would totally be freaked out if I was around a kid who was doing that.
I would, too. I would,
too. That would freak me out. Because that seems like right out of a movie.
I know. Yeah. This summer, I'm going to be going up to Mackinac Island again. And I'm a guest that I had on the other show, The Grave Talks, who does all of the, he's like the main paranormal researcher of the island, has some books out, and he's like the go-to guy for talking about ghosts there. And we're going to meet up, and I'm hoping we can go and walk around Fort Mackinac, which is a giant fort that's on that island that apparently has quite a few stories to it as well. Maybe I'll get my feeling there. I don't know.
Man, that would be cool to do with him, though.
I should
hear all those stories.
I should go dress.
It'd be cool and creepy at the same time.
I should go dressed in period attire because just to be like, oh, because I've heard of that. I've heard of people like that go to battlefields and do their reenactment type stuff. More times than not, if you are kind of dressed or in the vein of where they would have been comfortable with, that meaning the ghost, what they would know, I think it sometimes increases your odds of something happening.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're, like, dressing up, and I don't really get Civil War reenactors and stuff, because, like, you're dressing up pretending like you're in a horrific war.
Yeah.
To me, that's kind of strange. With all respect, no judgment if you're into that. But it seems like if you're willing to go to that extreme to play that you're in a war, that maybe you'd be kind of like open to something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I could see that. Just if you feel it, you have that.
You'd almost want it to happen in a way.
Yeah,
I mean, you're going to that extreme.
And if you have that strong of a connection to the point of this is what you like to do in your pastime, you may almost kind of wonder, like, is there more to this of, you know, a connection that's there, you know, whether it be, you can say anything from past life to just, you know, lineage. I don't know. But
like, I am fascinated by the Civil War. Like, I've read all kinds of books on the Civil War and stuff. You would never catch me dressing up. I just think that's the last thing I want to do is pretend like I'm in a war and people are dying around me.
Oh, you used to dress up on Civil War Day at the radio station. We used to have that.
I do declare.
Come in there. It's like, Carol, what is... Oh, my God. I forgot it's Civil War Day here.
Hey, don't call me Carol. Call me Annie Pelham. No, I would have been for the North, to be honest.
It was very, very bizarre. I didn't know what was going on. And the thing is, you're the only one who celebrated Civil War Day at the radio station. So it made it even stranger.
I know. It never caught on.
I enjoyed Oregon Trail Day at the station. That was fun. I, you know...
It's better than the Mormon Trail Day.
Well, like right down the road.
I had
road
to have my push cart out.
Right down the road from the station was like one of the trails, which isn't like one of them is like right there. This big marker.
Oregon Trail. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I always like when I remember driving by and I would go, oh, hope I don't get syphilis going. Or what was it? Not syphilis. What was scurvy? Scurvy was the one. Syphilis. Just
I hope you don't get syphilis.
Drive by the side and you got syphilis. Oh, shit.
All the people on the Oregon Trail.
That'd be a rare one to get out there on the Oregon Trail. 855.
Not possible.
Back to the show in just a moment. Want to thank our supporter today, Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. Simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place trades in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can view stock collections such as the 100 most popular. I enjoy that personally. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood right now, giving our listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at realghost.robinhood.com. That's
That's RealGhost, R-E-A-L-G-H-O-S-T, dot robinhood.com.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experience with us. Doing some research, it says, I learned that Camptonville is very haunted. Give you some bits and pieces of the history of Camptonville and the paranormal activity that's taken place in this town. In 1850, gold was struck in this town. During the time, it was known as the Gold Ridge. Town blacksmith was Robert Campton. And in 1854, the town was named after Robert Campton. There are stories that Robert may still haunt the town because a man wearing a black suit with coattails has been seen walking around the post office area. A resident named Menon Doyle from Marysville says that Robert Campton loved this town so much, his soul is still around to watch over the town. Menon says that the locals believe the apparition that they have seen is Robert Campton. The locals compare the phantom to a portrait of Robert Campton and how the apparition looks like the portrait. It's one of the possible ghosts. A few houses in the area are known to be haunted as well. More history on the town. It was a significant community during the California Gold Rush era. Travelers would stay for a spell, especially since the town in the 1850s and up to the 1860s boasted 50 saloons, some brothels, and even a bowling alley. Most travelers descended upon Camptonville from the Haines Pass, a major route that went over the Sierra Nevada mountains. Present time, Camptonville now has a Lost Nugget gas station, a convenience store, a post office, an elementary school, and a monument to the Pelton Wheel, the inventor which lived here in the 1860s, and the original Mayo Saloon, currently home to a restaurant and bar. Also, the Tahoe National Forest, which is also headquarters of the Tahoe Hotshots Fire Crew. Daniel says Eaton from Yuba City that her grandfather used to hunt near and around the Camptonville area. On a particular day, he spied a large buck. A buck looked behind him, seemed startled. The buck darted away quickly. Daniel's grandfather couldn't figure out why the buck ran away because he felt he was quiet as a mouse. A few seconds passed, and Daniel's grandfather heard the breaking of branches. The sound came closer and closer, and finally the sound stopped. Daniel's grandfather looked up, and he saw a huge, hairy-looking man. It was the face of a man, but the body of the creature was covered with thick, matted fur. The creature was at least 12 feet tall. Lots of strange things happen around Camptonville. This is a submission that we get from a paranormal investigator that every once in a while will kind of give us almost like a narrative story, which is, it's always kind of different because it's not just like here's my account. It's more so here's the factual AP version of the haunted town. But
And then that one had a big plot twist. All of a sudden, Bigfoot's at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if he sends a letter in, it's like everything, a summary of every haunting that he's aware of in the place he's researching. And I thought that was the first part was kind of interesting about the just the spirits of the town and the history of it.
And if the town's named after the guy, why would he leave?
Hey,
ego alone would keep you there.
What if you just got a street?
Town's named after me. I ain't going anyplace.
I totally understand if it's a town is named after you. It's like, all right, I'm going to haunt here. But what if you only had a street? Would you stick around for a street? No?
Well, I mean, people stick around in houses, and that ain't even a street.
What about a cul-de-sac? Would you stick around if you had a cul-de-sac named after you?
Well, you could.
What would you prefer? A street, a cul-de-sac, or a highway? You don't get town. Highway, street, or cul-de-sac. What would you like to haunt?
I think a cul-de-sac because I think it fits my personality more. I would get to know those people.
Okay.
Like on a highway, it would be constant people I don't know, and I'm trying to scare everybody. At least I know my place and who's I could scare.
Sure.
And who I could just help out with laundry. Because I keep looking for that ghost. It's like, I want that one.
Someday.
Come home, laundry's all done.
Someday it will find you. Or you'll find it, one of the two. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to a call. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony. My name is Ursula. I enjoy your show. I just wanted to share a story about a home I used to live in Pensacola, Florida, with my boyfriend. It was his parents' home. They owned it for quite a few years as a rental. And then when he moved back to the area, they gave the home to him, and he remodeled it, and it became his residence. Not long after I moved in with him, for whatever reason, I was just always really afraid to be in the house by myself. And I lived by myself for a while before that. And I don't know, I'm not scared to be at home alone. But for whatever reason, in that house, even during the day, I didn't really like to be there by myself. A couple months after, but nothing unusually strange happened until a couple months after living there. The house was built sometime in the early 1900s, and a lot of the house was original, the original hardwood floors, a tall, really beautiful house, tall ceilings. It was shaped like, the interior layout was shaped like a U, and we used the back door. So when you came in, you entered through the kitchen, and then you walked through the dining room, through the living room, down a hallway, around a corner, and that would take you into the master bedroom. And then at the far end of the house was the master bath. I worked in the evening, so one night when I came home, my boyfriend had prepared dinner, and I immediately came in and went into the master bath to wash my hands. And I had the water on, and I'm over the sink, and I hear, it sounds like somebody said my name, or was calling me. Well, at first, really, I just heard, like, talking. And the TV was on the wall right outside the bathroom, and I thought to myself, like, that's weird. I didn't notice the TV being on when I came in here. But then I heard my name, and at that point, I thought it was my boyfriend calling me. And I was really a little irritated, like, why are you talking to me? You know, can't you just wait till I'm done washing my hands? So I said, what? And he didn't respond. And then I heard my name again, this time a little louder, Ursula. And then I was just annoyed, like, why are you, can this not wait? And so I screamed, what? And he answered me. This time I said, what, so loud that he had heard me? And when he responded, I heard where his voice came from, and I realized he was still in the kitchen. So it was definitely not him that said my name. I finished washing my hands. I walked back out. I saw the TV wasn't on, and I just thought that was really weird. Then a couple weeks later, we had a friend over. The friend and I were sitting in the living room. My boyfriend is in the kitchen. In the living room, there was a TV on the wall, but it was off. There was a record player. We hadn't used it any time recently. It was off. So we're really just sitting and conversating, but there's no other noise on in the house. Then out of nowhere, the only way I can describe it, it just sounded like there was static, and then I describe it as like an old, it sounded like an old war radio. It was definitely a male's voice, and I don't know why I associated it with like a general's voice calling commands over the radio, but very clearly, it had the radio crackling sound over it, but it was very clearly a man's voice. And it sounded like it was coming from the fireplace. And it was one of those things, like, I wouldn't believe it. I would think that my, like, mind was just playing tricks on me if there wasn't somebody else in the room. And I looked at our friend and I said, did you just hear that? And he was just as shocked as I was. And we investigated. We looked at the record player. We have no idea where that came from. But this friend actually used to live in the home. He was a roommate in the home before I moved in. And there has just been a lot of weird things that have happened at that house. And one more thing that I think is pretty interesting is the house had an attic upstairs. It was a walk-in attic. And when my boyfriend acquired the home, he decided to finish the upstairs and make it more living space. So there was previously a half door to get you went up the stairs, and then there was a little half door that you could get into the attic. And when he went into the attic to start the renovations, there was an old, like a really creepy doll up there, which was just random. Nothing else was in the attic except for an old creepy doll. And on the back of the door, and I've seen pictures of this before. He had pictures that he showed me. It looks like a child's writing. It was in crayon. And I said something to the effect of, "Daddy, please, and don't hurt me." So I don't know a lot about the history of the house, but definitely there's some history there. And, well, that's all. So thank you for listening, and thank you for the show. Have a great night.
That one really kind of had it all in there. Everything from creepy dolls to strange voices coming through the speakers, and yeah.
The creepy doll would be enough, and then on the back of the door, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
That's super creepy.
Get a little bit of everything in there.
Like doubled the creepiness.
I don't think I could stay in that house. I mean, that's just, it sounds a little bit too extreme for me. Even if, like,
you know, she didn't say anything about the boyfriend having the experiences. And some, you know, and he's remodeling, so he's like literally messing with the bones of the house, mm-hmm. which I think could stir some stuff up. But she didn't say anything about him having experiences. Now the friend did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming the boyfriend had the experiences too.
I would, that would be my assumption. I don't know for sure.
He's probably like, "We're selling this place up and we're fixing it up and getting the hell out of here."
Yeah, I don't think. Just the idea of going up into the attic and there's not much up there, but you find a creepy doll.
As soon as she said the attic, I'm like in my head, "Don't go there, don't." And she did.
I've never, the only weird thing I've ever found in an attic was an old Folgers coffee can, like the old tin one that was in the...
Nice to know that the people liked coffee.
Yeah, it's like, there you go, coffee from, I don't know how, I mean, I think it was like 1930s or so in the can. But
those dolls are so creepy.
Yeah.
Like my mom had a bedroom, like when I'd go stay with her before she moved here. And there was all those dolls. And so you'd wake up in the middle of the night and they're all just looking at you like they want something, but they can't tell you. And it's like I told her, I said, "You know, I think I'd rather sleep on the sofa." All those dolls just creep me out.
I don't understand the mindset that folks have who collect those, where they line the guest bedroom with them. I've stayed at places like that too. And it's like, in what world is this like a peaceful feeling? I think these weird things staring at you, and they're all just...
It is an adult. I have never thought, "That is a really cute doll.
No.
I'm so buying that one."
I don't get it.
I don't even remember buying a doll when I was a kid.
No.
But my mom, like, she probably had 25 of them in that room.
Some people, it's like a... I don't know. It's a comfort thing. I have no
they're
idea.
So beautiful. That's what she would say. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, we went to a toy museum earlier in the evening here in Branson, Harper and myself, and it's all classic old toys. And there was a whole section there with the dolls, and it was like the Charlie McCarthy doll. That one always freaks me out. And they had like some really old ones that were, you know, they'd seen better days, but you know, they're certainly, you know, very old and antiques, but like the suit's kind of tattered and it's, you know, it's all really faded, a little bit ripped up here and there. It looked like one out of a horror movie. It wasn't like, "Oh, this was a really good shape one." Even those freaked me out, but this would be like the one that would be like the zombie version of the doll. And walking.
And when everybody leaves, they all start talking to each other.
Yeah. And we were right at the museum, like right when they were closing too. And so, like, we're the only ones there in this one little area, and it's kind of like a maze as you wander through these narrow halls just lined with toys. And then there's just all these dolls in this one little glass area.
Does Harper think it's creepy?
I don't think so.
She's so young, or she might think it's kind of fun.
I said to her, that's creepy. She's like, why? I'm like, because look at them. They're just, ugh. And then she gets joy out of other people getting creeped out or freaked out. So now that she knows that I don't really like them, she'll probably try and like buy one somewhere and then just like hide it around the house for me. Because that's how she is.
She takes after her father.
Exactly. Exactly. So I could see her doing something of that nature. But yeah, it was creepy. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, this is Latasha from Texas. I have another short ghost story that I want to share with you and the listeners. This happened to me today. It is January the 9th, and it happened at 3:34 a.m. It was an episode of sleep paralysis. Now, I get sleep paralysis a lot. Normally, when I get it, it happens if I'm taking a nap in the middle of the day, if I'm just really tired and sleeping really heavy. If I do see anything, sometimes I'll feel like I see a little kid standing by my bed, and it doesn't ever feel like, you know, a bad presence. But it was different this morning. So at 3:34 a.m., I was in bed, and I just kept hearing somebody walk into me and my husband's bedroom. And when I looked up, I saw someone standing at the foot of my bed on my side. And she was wearing white, and she had bushy black hair, and she was just staring at me. I started blinking my eyes, thinking it would go away, and it didn't. So I shut my eyes really tight, and then all of a sudden, I felt my chest get really heavy. I couldn't breathe. It was like she was holding me down. And then I could feel her breath and I could hear her breathing in my ear. And it scared me so bad that I shook myself awake. And I looked over at my husband and he didn't budge. He didn't even notice what was going on. So I got out of bed and I had to compose myself for a little while because I was really scared. I had tears in my eyes because I didn't know what had just happened. Nothing like that has ever happened to me before, but I was terrified. So about 4 o'clock, I start getting ready to go to the gym, and I got home about 6 a.m. and my husband was still sleeping. So I started to get ready for work. I took a shower. I heard his phone going off. He was getting text messages, and for some reason he was still sleeping, and he's usually a light sleeper. As soon as I turn on the shower, he's awake. So he was sleeping really heavy for some reason, and I started to get worried. And then finally, when he did wake up, he was drenched in sweat. And he told me that he didn't fall asleep until about 4 o'clock in the morning. So I told him what happened to me, and I let him know that he was asleep the whole time. Like, he didn't budge. He had no idea what was going on. So I think he just was sleeping heavier than he thought he was, to think that he had been up all night. But you know, he was sweating, and it was a really weird morning. But I thought about that all day, and I didn't know what to think of it. It was really scary to me. So honestly, I don't know how I'm gonna go to sleep tonight, but I just wanted to share that with everyone. And keep up the great work. I love the show. Bye.
A lot of wine. That's how you're going to go to sleep tonight. That's my answer to that.
I was thinking Benadryl. But then the problem is, once you fall asleep, like, it does freak you out. Because what if it does happen again? Because that would be terrifying.
Yeah. It's interesting how they both had out of characteristic experiences in the same night.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah,
make you,
I'd be scared to go to sleep too.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, it's just, yeah, that's not the night you want to have, because then you're going to sit there and you're going to worry about it. And if you're an anxious person, it would be, yeah, that would just be kind of torturous.
I guess that she won't sleep very well for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a scary one.
Thank you for sharing that one with us. as we record this at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and, great. Now we'll never sleep.
It's almost time to go to bed. So there you go. All right. Thank you for calling in and sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And I think that will wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Do that at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of our EPP bonus episodes. Get access to advanced episodes of the program weeks before they go public. All there. Ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air. Thank you for that. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.